My dear friends in Christchurch, Berwick. Sorry, I said Christchurch, didn't I? I mean Berwick Anglican Church. But thank you for your welcome, and I'm grateful to the Lord God our Father and to Wayne and Ben for arranging for me to come today. I really am a Thursdayite, and if you look inside your leaflet, when we go off to Craig Care there, the pastoral care activities, that's in the afternoon of Thursday. I'll be there as well as at the 10 o'clock, regular 10 o'clocks. And the once a month off we go to Glencoe and then to Springlea with a marvellous bunch of BAC members. Thank you for your fellowship in the gospel in that role as well as here on Sundays. I was here a year ago at the 150th anniversary. Was any of you here then? Did you remember those testimonies? Those people who stood up the front here and said what the Lord Jesus meant to them. I was thrilled to hear them. I praise God for them and for the whole occasion. And now we're 151 years old. And Neil's put together this history. Good on you, Neil. We look forward to the finished product when it's coming out. And this is your great Christmas present for your aunties, uncles, cousins, everybody else. You can give them one. I need to tell a spider story before I go further on. I'm sorry I'm missing this creature here, but it's like this. My mum and dad got married on the mission field in Uganda. That's where all of us four kids were born. Anyway, when they got married in the chapel in Bualasi, up on the mountain up there, God arranged for a spider. And he was right up in the ceiling and he came on down, and he spun a web between my mum and dad's heads as they were praying their vows to each other. And the congregation looked and they said, "That's a lovely sign." And they stayed together all their married life and produced some of us next generation here. Well, my sermon today is, of course, about the flower show. About God's splendid creation. And he's done it so well. I'd like to add my thanks to Jill Mainland and all the others who put time, effort and money into gathering all this system together out there. And what you need is an exposition of each section. Jill gave it to me as I turned up this morning. So this represents the evening, or the dark, and then the light, and this is the evening and the morning, and this is going through different aspects of the sky, the moon and the water and all that, the birds and so on, coming round to people. Here we are also in God's image. And there's a spot where you can put a flag with whatever blessing you want to write there. So I invite you to do that, as well as I've done mine, and it's out there too. Well, I'd now like to pray God's blessing for us as we think together. Lord God, our Creator and our Heavenly Father, we love you and worship you and praise you for creating us in your own image and also for creating this planet and all the wonderful plants, flowers and creatures for us to enjoy here on it. We thank you for the skill and generosity of members and friends of this church in cultivating and gathering these flowers. As we admire them, we pray that our lives may show, like them, true colour, fragrance, fruitfulness and beauty for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friends, I love the Genesis 1 account of the gracious hand of the Lord God in bringing this universe into being. And I thank him for doing that through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. As we read, he's the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So why do I believe this about the origin of the universe instead of some secular Big Bang theory which leaves God out? Well, I'm a creationist, though not a young earth creationist. I believe God had his hand on the whole process. And I really think we are quite an old universe, not nearly as old, of course, as God, who started in eternity without a beginning. I use the faith that God has planted in me by his Holy Spirit in my heart and mind. And this faith is really based on good evidence, not only in the scriptures we have, but also in the scientific world. When people say, oh, Mother Nature thought something up, I say, wait, he's got a name. He is God, our Creator. We use faith every day. But right now we're thinking of God's role in the creation of his universe, this planet, and in particular ourselves and these beautiful flowers around us. Hebrews 11 is a great chapter on faith, and it begins, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. So you and I were created by God through our parents, and I hope to convince you to copy the colour, fragrance, fruitfulness and beauty of these flowers in your character and your relationships. Well, we note that in Genesis that God's creation of plant life was focused on producing food. Verses 11 to 13 of chapter 1 tell us that on the third day God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning the third day. Now when it says there was evening and morning, now you know why Jewish people, from the Old Testament through the New Testament and even today, count the beginning of a day is sunset. So by the time the sun's gone down, a new day has begun. So sunset to sunset is the Jewish biblical day. In contrast, the Tanzanians, they count dawn as the beginning of a new day. So 5 a.m., or should I say 5 a.m. when it's not summer and dawn has arrived, is a new day. And 3 a.m. is the previous day, different from us and our midnight starts. Well, this creation was very good. And God created us human beings to be in the Garden of Eden and to work and look after it. There's a story of a minister who was going past a beautiful garden and he saw a chap working there. Oh, he said, isn't that wonderful? God's beautiful creation. Oh, yes, said the gardener, but you should have seen it when the Lord God had it to himself. Now, of course, the jungle out there and the outback has got its own charm. And if you're a bushwalker, you'll know what I mean. But there's something about a beautifully tended garden, and these flowers did not come from the outback. They were carefully cared for, propagated, nourished, and looked after. God means us to work with him to manage his planet and the plants and creatures on it with care in obedience to him. So when I think of these flowers, I see God, their creator. But I also see you who prepared the soil, planted the seeds, weeded, watered, cultivated, looked after them, and eventually picked them and brought them here. Maybe at your hard work or your expense. But for all, for here, for us to enjoy. Thank you again for that. My Dorothy and I were missionaries in Africa for most of our working lives, and our good friends and neighbours over there found it a bit hard to appreciate the delight we saw in lovely flowers. They thought, you can't eat them. Or beautiful birds. They're only good for their meat. But we thought they were beautiful creatures. And what about a colourful sunset? Well, it must be time to go home now. Whereas if you look out there, there's some flowers designed to represent a dawn and a sunset. The Bible tells us that it's good to recognise God's skill and kindness in creating beauty in flowers. For a start, if he saw that his creation was good, then it's right for us also to see it with his eyes and recognise its beauty, its value and attractiveness. The hymn we sang earlier goes, God only is the maker of all things near and far. He paints the wayside flower. He lights the evening star. So we rejoice with him and delight in what he's had in his design and his creation of all these beautiful flowers as well as other creatures. And there's an indication in the Bible too about God liking flowers. Because when he got Moses in the Exodus time to prepare the lampstand and other things around the tabernacle there for the worship center, he said, make a lampstand out of pure gold, hammer out its base and shaft, and make its flower-like cups, buds and blossoms of one piece with them. So these are made out of bronze. Six branches are to extend from the sides of the lampstand, three on one side and three on the other. That's the menorah. You may have seen pictures of it. And the cups were to be shaped like almond flowers with buds and blossoms on the one branch, three on the next branch, and the same, the six branches all together and the centre bit. So when God said, look at those flowers, they've got a beauty about them, match them in the candlestick, he was saying, flowers are beautiful, and I thoroughly agree. His creation was very good. The Lord Jesus also taught us, like Ben was saying earlier, to trust our Heavenly Father to supply our needs. And he gave us the example of the wild flowers, translated lilies sometimes. And he said in Luke 12:27, consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. I'm confident that some of you have been round Western Australia and seen the wild flowers out there. Dorothy and I had a holiday out there and marvelled at these creations. We thought that sometimes we were going to be the only ones to see this flower here in the outback before its days were finished. God reckoned it was very good, all that variegated colour and design that he has designed. We heartily agree. And King Solomon was dressed in beautiful clothes, just like the priests also of the Old Testament worship centre. They were marvellously splendid in their outfits. But the Lord Jesus said that all their clothes were not as beautiful as the flowers that God has created. So we appreciate beauty in both of them and reckon the flowers are really beautiful. And yet these flowers and we are transient. Jesus encouraged us to trust in God, our Father, as he taught us that God cares for us even more than he does for the flowers he's created. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? It's flower show day, and we thank the Lord God. We pray for trust in his love as well as asking for his transforming power in us. But at the same time, we recall how transient are our lives. And when you read Neil's book about the 150th anniversary or the 150 years of this parish, you'll find all those old saints are already up in heaven. Their bodies have worn out and they've moved to be with Christ. We recall from Job chapter 14, he says, Mortals born of woman are of few days and full of trouble. They spring up like flowers and wither away. Like fleeting shadows, they do not endure. The days of mortals are determined. You have decreed the number of their months and have set limits they cannot exceed. So, yes, as Ben was saying, these flowers will end up in some recycling system. They'll wither and perish. Their beauty is temporary. We love them for a while only. And these bodies of ours are the same, although they've got a longer life than the flowers. You remember Psalm 139. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So the Lord God created us and planned us for us to be here on earth for a certain period of time. Where we go after this life depends on our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God our Father. If you rely on Christ as your Saviour and follow him as your Lord, you are heading for heaven. Now, hold on, I need to clarify that statement about being transient. Oh, sure, these bodies of ours are, as an illustration that Paul and Peter both used, they're like a tent, and one day it'll be folded up and you can come to my service one day. You're likely to outlive me because I'm older than some of you here. Well, that's the time when we die, but your real self actually moves house. It moves from this tent to be with Christ. And that's a marvelous future you can look forward to if you are in Christ. You'll be delighted to get there. And then when the Lord Jesus returns and there's the general resurrection, your body will be resurrected into a new resurrection body to match the one the Lord Jesus got on Easter Day. He's the prototype and we follow on. Now let's draw from these flowers some qualities, four qualities for our Christian lives to have: colour, fragrance, fruitfulness and beauty. First of all, colour. Well, let our lives be colourful. And that includes our conversations. It's gracious and flavoursome instead of being insipid. Paul's phrase in Colossians 4 goes like this: be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So that's colour, colour in your Christian life. Then there's a fragrance. As I walk past here, I sniff the roses. Ah, they're beautiful. I've got a dear friend, she's 93. She's lost her ability to smell or taste. So she's cut off from that fragrance. I hope you can enjoy it without sneezing too much. This is the fragrance that can come into our lives so that when we're with people, we're a means of encouragement to them, a means of edifying and giving them hope, being a blessing, and never turning anybody away by our behaviour or our words from our Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing then is fruitfulness. Now the main point about flowers is to prepare for the transformation into seeds, sometimes with edible fruit, which produce the next generation of plants with their flowers. I want us to be fruitful too, and I'm not referring to having children, although it's lovely to see this bunch down here. That's a separate matter. I'm talking about the fruitfulness of helping others come into God's family. so that when the 200th anniversary of Christchurch Berwick is written, we'll find there's another bunch of people who've gone on to serve the Lord in bringing the new generation into Christ and glorifying him here. Fruitfulness is part of our character. We can learn from flowers. Now the fourth point, it's about beauty. Now the beauty of flowers can point us to the beauty of a Christian character. There's a connection between the physical beauty of lovely flowers and the spiritual beauty of a godly, loving character. We use the phrase, a beautiful character, to indicate how we see a loving, gracious spirit in someone. The Bible tells us that God's at work in our characters by his Holy Spirit in a process called sanctification. This is transforming us so that we're less like the sinful world, the flesh and the devil, and more like Christ. It's God's plan and purpose for his people. In Romans 8, verses 29 and 30, we've got the great sweep of our careers from eternity when God first thought of us through to eternity when we'll be with him forever. Let me read that. Those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. So God starts by planning to create you and me and to conform us to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. In that process, he calls us to saving faith in Christ. And you respond with the three great R's. R for repenting of your sins, R for receiving Jesus as your Lord, and R for relying on him for your salvation. That's the beginning of the work of molding your character into holiness, sanctifying you, glorifying you by giving the true spiritual beauty. I know that the process will be completed in heaven, but there's plenty of progress in our years here on earth. The truth is revealed also in 2 Corinthians 3, 16 to 18. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil's taken away. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, and we're being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who's the Spirit. So that glory or beauty is what we're meant to see and to show in our lives here on earth as we serve the Lord and stand for him. I love that hymn that starts off, "May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day." And the last verse goes like this, "May his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channel, seeing only him." As we think about the splendour and beauty of God's creation in flowers, so we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to anoint us with his beauty in our characters, as we seek to bring those who are not yet in his family, those who are still lost, that they may come to Christ. The loveliness of a godly personality can be a real attraction for people to come to Jesus. Let me tell you a story about this beauty in our characters and our work. If you look at the last verse of Psalm 90, there talks about, "May the favour of the Lord rest upon us," but the footnote there means you can also translate that word favour as beauty. And that's the way the Swahili Bible takes it. Now, over in our college in Tanzania, where Dorothy and I spent most of our working lives, each lecturer had some extracurricular activities. And for a certain period of time, I was the one in charge of manual work. See, the idea was that the students agreed when they came to college to do 2 hours on a Tuesday, 2 hours on a Thursday afternoon of work around the place to keep the college neat and beautiful. Okay? So we gather together at 3 o'clock on Thursdays and Tuesdays, and I'd arrange the students' work, and then I'd pray with them before we began. And I taught them to use this last verse of Psalm 90 as a kind of a collect or a prayer we'd all say together. So I'd start off the words, if I can put them into English now, may the beauty, and you get this roar, this thunderous prayer joining in, may the beauty of the Lord God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So we're praying for his beauty, like in flowers, to rest on our characters and to bless our work. Let's look around us today and reflect on yesterday's displays and the other ones here right now, and the Floreade in Canberra, if you've ever seen that, or Tesselaar's flowers up there in Sylvan, or if you've ever been across the Wynyard in October, November, there are all these acres and acres of tulips. When we see them, we lift our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and worship him for his marvelous creation. As that hymn declares, all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. My friends, we thank the Lord God as we think about that hymn. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art. As we think about these flowers, we praise him together. Please pray with me as I finish now. Lord God, our Father, we love you and thank you for your great love for us. We trust you in your love to work all things together for our good and for your glory, just as you care for these flowers that we see here and think about elsewhere. Please sanctify our characters to be colourful, fragrant, fruitful and beautiful, and so to be conformed to the image of your Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.